Blog Talk Radio.
Technical difficulties tonight, but hopefully the show will be on and popping. I'm hoping you all can hear me clearly, and my voice is coming through pretty clear. So let's get right into the show. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. This is Jordana, And I am coming back to you with another entry for Serious Sex with the Goddess in the Crown. This is Crown Knowledge Radio. So if you would like to join me in the show at any time, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Crown Knowledge Radio. If you'd like to call into the show here within the sound of my voice, you can call in at 515-605-9858 and talk with me, talk a little sex, a little serious sex with the goddess tonight. Again, this is Crown Knowledge Radio. This is my segment on Serious Sex with the Goddess. I'm probably more than likely going to be doing this segment for a little while. I'm transforming it into something, not sure what just yet. But, you know, roll with me, rock with me for a little while, and let's see where it is taking me. If you have not been listening to Serious Sex with the Goddess, or you haven't heard an episode yet, please go back and listen to the previous episodes. I'm guaranteeing you, you will get something out of them. Get past the technical issues, the technical difficulties, and roll with me, and we'll get bigger, we'll get better, we'll get brighter. So I'm going to invite my serious sexual goddesses and guides and ancestors in the show with me tonight, and come and sit with me, especially Kuan Yin, the goddess of romance, the goddess of love, goddess Venus. I'm going to invite her in the show with me tonight, and all my spiritual sexual angels and the divine goddesses that are welcome in the show tonight to talk a little sex. And tonight's episode is going to be about your serious sensual senses and your sexual common sense. Don't say that five times real fast because you might fuck it up like I did. So we're going to talk about the five senses, and actually I'm going to introduce a sixth sense as well. So we're going to talk about the five senses, how they come into play with your sexual self, your spiritual sexual knowledge of yourself, and what that looks like in a sexual situation, based on everything that I've said so far, based on your sexual worth, which I did, you know, last week, your sensual spiritual elevation as it relates to, and I might have mentioned it just briefly in my serious sexual conversation about the Kama Sutra and Tantra, and there was a little yam-yam in there. If y'all don't know what yam-yam is, go back and listen to that episode. Sexual breath, and I don't think I've done that episode yet, but sexual breath and breathing and meditation. So this portion of mental, where it's going to involve a little bit of mental masturbation, a little sensual, sexual senses, and your spiritual common sense and what that looks like. This one is definitely, I wanted to break it up into three shows, but I think I can get it in one show. And then if I, y'all know me, I'm long-winded. I can take one piece and do a whole show. So with that being said, let's start with the mental masturbation. So we talked a little bit about that in the first segment as well, when I was speaking of how your emotions come into play with your sexual self, and what that looks like, and how we get caught up in emotional issues, manipulation when it comes to sex. And again, just all overall emotional well-being when it comes to sex and how we deal with it. And I've always said number one was having the conversation first. And I'm going to introduce those conversations. I have the longest list of conversation that should be had somewhere in between you understanding, getting it mentally, and then getting it physically in your body and where that sits in your spirituality. So having the conversation first is, I can't stress how important that is as far as your sexual self. And if you're not having the conversation with a significant other, it could be just having the conversation with your serious sexual self. So, you know, let's start there. So mental masturbation, well, Donna, what is that? And that is basically you allowing yourself, because it's about you, allowing yourself to be put in a situation where if you are wanting more out of your sexual experience, but you're settling for a whole lot less. Well, what does that look like? So you're allowing your mind, let me back up, because I thought about something the other day, and it was kind of sort of funny, but then I heard it on a podcast, and I heard a bunch of grown people saying the same thing I was saying, and it's that, you know, there are adults out there that still mistake sex for love. I hope there's not too many of those left out there, to be honest with you. It's already a sad situation. But when you don't know yourself sexually, when you're not educated about your own sexual self and your own sexual spirituality, I see how that could happen. Mistaking a sexual encounter, or whatever you want to call it, make it love, fucking, whatever we call it these days, and you're of a certain age, and you are still mistaking that for some level of love, especially with somebody that you know, or somebody that you don't know. So you're mistaking that for a certain level of love, in essence. And again, I always go back to the icing and the cake. The act of intercourse itself is just the icing. I mean, we got it twisted, just like life and death, just like love and marriage. We have it twisted. We have for so long, people, that some of the things that I say may sound very strange and weird to a lot of people. And hopefully in Serious Sex with the Goddess and Crown Knowledge Radio, we're going to cover a lot of that. And like I said, a lot of that is going to be covered in ritual relationship. And if you haven't yet listened to Ritual Relationship, if you go back and listen to that and then listen to this, that might make a whole lot more sense to you. But yes, there are adult individuals, grown individuals, that still feel like the actual act of sexual intercourse equates somehow to love. Now, should you have some type of chemical attraction to the person that you're having sex with? I think so. I'm not saying that's the instance all the time. The situation is not always, I know this person. I get it. One night stands happen and other instances happen. I'm not going to call it a oops, but you might wake up with buyer's remorse in the morning. I'm just saying. But with that being said, mental masturbation can look like that in that way as well. Another way that you could see mental masturbation take place is just getting the definition of what sex is, and we went over that in a few of my sessions, and then what the definition of love is. Now, that's tricky, because everybody's definition or experience, or it's an individual by individual case. You can't really say, well, this is love. This is what L-O-V-E is. I right now, I think what my definition of love is God. So, okay, Donna, you said that you can't really study or know God. That's very true. And you can't really study and know what love is. And there are polar opposites to everything: good, bad, love, hate, up, down, in, out, black, white. There's always polar opposites of what we do or what we experience here on this planet in human form. So one person's definition of love could vary differently from another person's definition of love. So here we go again with the mental masturbation. You might feel that love to you equates to someone that makes you feel good. I'm going to use a lot of keywords here. That someone makes you happy, that someone makes you feel good, that someone makes you feel joy, that someone makes you feel safe, someone makes you feel comfortable, someone makes you feel like a queen or a princess or whatever the case is. Someone puts you on a pedestal. Someone even gives you a certain level of respect. All of those things, and the reason why I said it that way is because a lot of those things can be manipulative, and they can also be mistaken and lead you into a place of mental masturbation where you're always wanting someone else to provide for you something that you can easily, clearly, and safely provide for yourself prior to you being in a relationship with someone else. So you'll hear it be said on several podcasts in different ways. You know, women expect for men to make them happy. Men expect for women to serve them in a sense and make them feel like a king. You're going to hear it put in several different ways in several different instances. Man, I should have made this mental masturbation with a whole show, because it really does go into a lot of those key things that I said. Someone, we're looking for someone to make us happy. That is nobody else's job but yours. If you are not happy going into a relationship, there's no one on the planet Earth that can make you happy. That has to come from somewhere within you. Someone to make you as Cat Williams said, respect, or make you have some level of respect for yourself. If that's someone else's job, that is not true. Self-respect is respect of yourself. So a shout out to my favorite comedian again, Cat Williams. He said, self-respect is respect of your motherfucking self. So you got to find that. That is your responsibility to respect yourself before you would expect anyone else to respect you. Treating yourself special, you can't expect for someone else to do it. So with that being said, and all of the other things that I've listed so far as mental masturbation goes, so that'll put you on a spin. It'll put you in a real quick tailspin of what you feel about yourself right off the rip sexually. So have those conversations about what you expect from the person that you're dealing with, if you're dealing with another person. Now, we're not talking about masturbation itself. That's a whole nother show, and I mentioned that a few shows back. Of course, you can do by yourself. Masturbation you can do by yourself. Everybody knows that. There's no other person involved in doing that. And so mentally getting yourself prepared. And again, it always goes back to having the conversation, but mentally getting yourself prepared for those sexual experiences is part of heightening those senses. And this is segueing into my next portion here, but it's part of preparing yourself mentally, emotionally, spiritually for heightening the senses when it comes to sex. Now, we are talking about spiritual level sex. I'm not talking about nobody on porn sites, OnlyFans, Facebook, Instagram. It is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and try to give a definition of that, because that's not my lane. But what I am talking about is those individuals, and again, this is my target audience, those individuals that can think, first of all, on another level. Second of all, you have to have original knowledge of self. That's half the ball game. If you're not studying yourself, if you don't have any original knowledge of self and who you are and what you are and why you are. And I think I just mentioned in one of our last segments about people saying, well, Dardonna, and of course this might be a Christian mindset, but Dardonna, God gives us, our sexual senses in order for us to procreate. That's part of it. But now, I'm not going to discuss the God you serve, but the God I serve gave you sensuality and stimulation in certain parts of your body that if it were not to be stimulated, it should not be there. I don't believe. That's what I believe. That's my opinion. That's Dardana. And again, this is Crowd Knowledge Radio. So I'm going to go on the side of, why would you need to do that? Do I need to climax or come in order for me to have a baby? Absolutely not. So why, what, you know, that can be a whole nother show. Let's discuss the climax or the ejaculation or, you know, coming, whatever you want to call it. Why is that trigger? Why is that a process? It's something that happens to such a height of stimulation that in the French they call it la petite mortaire, if I'm saying it right, or in English, a tiny death, that you almost die a little bit when you come. That's interesting. That is very interesting. So I digress. We'll come back to that because that's very interesting. So why is that heightened stimulation so important? Before, during, and after, because before the act is, you know, foreplay and so on and so forth. So with that, heightening your senses, let's go from the mental masturbation into heightening the senses. And in my segment of Serious Sex with the Goddess, where I talked about Kama Sutra and Tantra, I briefly mentioned the five senses: taste, hearing, touch, smell, and sight. And then I'm going to introduce a sixth sense that's extremely important, and it should actually be the first one. Let's just start with sight, what you see. And so what you see in a sexual situation is very important. There's two ways you can see it. You can physically look at the person and see, okay, he fine, she fine, they have this, they have that, they look a certain way, they got what I like, whatever your body type is. Because I really don't think most people have a type these days. Everybody has a preference, from skinny, skinny, skinny to whatever that looks like on a male or female, to BBW plus plus, goddess, queen, voluptuous, curvy, sexy, whatever you want to call it on the other end, and whatever that looks like on the opposite sex. So I don't think that there is a stamp, and I'll do a whole nother show about the standards of beauty and who set that standard. That's going to be a whole nother show. What you think is supposed to be cute might not necessarily be cute. So, I mean, that's a whole nother issue. But when you look at someone, we always say that men are visual creatures and women are emotional creatures. And I'm thinking that a lot of that is starting to turn a little bit. Why? I don't know. That's a very good question. If somebody knows, call into the show, 515-605-9858. Women are aggressively being more heightened sexually. And again, this is the Crown. I am the Black Goddess in the Forum, and I'm primarily speaking of Black women. Are all women doing it? Yeah, to a certain degree. But we already had a stigma on us as Black women as being overly sexual or oversexed. I don't even know what that actually means, but there was a stigma there of, this is what Black women are. Oh, they like it. They love it. I'm sorry, because I think, and I'm not calling anybody over sex, but when it comes to like sexual gangsters and sexual gurus, Asian women got that shit on lock. Y'all have got to see this shit go down. If you want to go on the more conservative side, but the more sensual side, like I do, and I'm just going to say Hindu, even though I know Hindu is not an actual quote-unquote word, but the Pakistani, Afghan, Hindu women, Bangladesh, those women, they have that Kama Sutra shit on lock. We didn't corner the market on that, but we learned barbaric and animalistic ways to have sex here in the primal medieval times in America. and during the times of whatever that primal or barbaric or whatever, that, I mean, you see the pictures or cartoons or whatever of the caveman pulling the woman by her hair. You don't see any of those pictures in Asian culture, Eastern culture, or cultures in India and in the Indus regions of the country. Not to that level where you see the club and the caveman and the man pulling the woman by the hair. I'm not real sure where that came from, but so we fuck like animals. I mean, and even animals to a certain degree, they keep it at a certain level. When they procreate, they really do procreate. When they have sex to procreate, to make children, to make, you know, cubs or, you know, babies. So their sexuality, I mean, you don't, you know, you might see two animals wrestling and playing around, but you don't see them kissing and feeling and rubbing and the female lion all up under the male lion's balls all day. You don't see that. They're very classy. They're very purposeful. Most animals are. They procreate for purpose. They eat for purpose. They don't have the I was going to say the luxury, but they don't have the poison of fast food in their life. They eat to survive. They don't eat to get fat, their belly. They don't. So, hey, we can learn a few things anyway. I digress. Let me get back. So our sensual senses are heightened. What we see, what you see, you know, what did your grandmamas used to say, everything that looked good to you ain't necessarily good for you. So we operate off of senses. And men operate a different way when they're visualizing than women do. The second way, I said the first way, the second way that you can see someone is namaste. So everybody's, you know, everybody thinks that's a cool word and, you know, you just, you know, you've gotten so enlightened and so woke, quote unquote, and you've ascended to such a level that namaste, just, you know, I learned this word when I was, you know, doing my yoga class last week and they said namaste. But what does it mean? It means the God in me sees and respects the God in you. And it's even at a higher level than that. It comes from a word that was translated anciently a long time ago. Again, I don't do the research. Y'all go back and look it up. Don't take my word for it. So when you say namaste to someone, you're recognizing the God in them. But when you're looking at someone and you close your eyes and you say, I see you. Without even having my eyes open, I see you. I can see someone by the next sense, which is touch. You can see someone and you can touch them. So if I'm touching you with my eyes closed and I can't see you, what am I touching? So I should be able to communicate with you just by touching you. That's interesting. That's very interesting. So touch is another form. And another sense that we use to heighten our senses when it comes to our spiritual sexual self. I don't know how to get y'all to understand that this stuff is so important. It's like, well, Donna, you know, that's a lot just to get some. That's a whole lot. Like, why do I have to go through all of this? Because I'm trying to save your sexual sanity. Our mental health. And again, you got to go back and listen to Serious Sex with the Goddess. That's what this is all about. It's not just about getting more pussy. It's not just about getting better dick. It's about your sexual, spiritual sanity and your mental health when it comes to sexual issues. Why? I was going to say women, but I guess men get, you know, assaulted too sexually. But there's a lot of sexual assault going on, whether it's children or you know, we always think it's women because women more likely than men. Molestation and perverted things going on inside the family and perverted things going on at school and at camp and, you know, on sports teams and in the church. Good grief. And, you know, the high authority figures are taking it. Why is porn a multi-billion? It's probably more than that. Why is porn a multi-billion dollar industry? Why is it that most things that sell very well sell with sex or sexually charged advertising? Why? There's something to that. That's a whole nother show. Let me move on because I got 4 more senses to go. So that's just a question. I'm just putting it out there. But there's something to that. So, okay, Donna, why we got to go through all of this? Because somehow it seems to be extremely, sex is like anything else in the world. Too much of it could probably kill you or get you killed, especially when you are not within your sexual mental realm. If your sexual mental health, if your mental health period is messed up, if your spiritual sexual sanity is offline. Okay, I'm going to put a pin right there. Let's move on to the next sense, which is hearing. I'll save the best for last. Well, I think they're all good. These last three are good. Hearing, what you hear. Hearing, again, that's a wide, and people are like, okay, you hear, yeah, I hear the moaning and the groaning and the whimpering and the, ooh, daddy, you got it, or you know, the who I'm your daddy, or whose is it? We hear all of that, and that might do it for you. Don't necessarily do it for me, but, you know, my sexual language is complex. But it is a sensual sexual language. It's a spicy sexual language. It's transparent. It's cosmic communication. If you have cosmic communication, you're looking for a cosmic climax. I'm telling you, it's very complex. I can describe my sexual language on that level to the king that I'm speaking to, because it would be difficult for anyone else to understand it. So now, what do you hear? And if that doesn't, you know, if the, you know, say my name, if that does it for you, I'm not faulting you for that. I'm not saying it's good or bad. You know, whose is it? Call me daddy. You know, talk nasty to me, baby. Whatever that is for you, I can't fault you for that. That works for you. So, you know, get it in. But what do you hear? I mean, what do you really hear when someone is speaking to you? And a lot of times my love language starts before I'm even near you. Period. So what you're hearing should paint a picture in your mind about not only the person that's speaking it to you, but the scenario or the situation to come. So it should paint a picture in your mind of what's coming for you, no pun intended, but you get it. And if you're going to come at all. So the language should speak volumes about the person that's speaking to you. And that's going to be a whole different show, speaking to someone's sexual self, love language and communication. It's coming right here, the Serious Sex with the Goddess, Crown Knowledge Radio, because it's important. How you speak to me will tell me what's going to happen down the road. It's going to paint a picture of our sexual situation. So it is very important. So would you rather hear, you know, goddamn motherfucker, oh God, yeah, hit it, put it in my guts, put it in the back, or would you rather hear, I know some of y'all be like, okay, what did she just say? But, or would you rather say, I can taste the mango on your neck. I can feel things on your thighs that turns me on. Like, you know, I can feel, you know, the goosebumps on the back of my neck. Like, you know, I feel like I'm floating. The language has to be different. I don't know. I don't know your lane. I'm just making it up as I go along. But it goes with how I feel about the person I'm with, about the situation we're in, and how we're so intimate with one another that our language should reflect that. I digress. I just said something for somebody. That's okay. I'm gonna post it for y'all. But hearing is very important. And who knew that what you can hear, because, you know, from someone could, that's like emotional abuse in an abusive relationship. You don't have to hit someone to hurt them, clearly, because it happens all the time. But you don't have to physically lay a finger on anyone to beat their ass. You really don't. You just really don't. So what's being said to you, your love language should take you throughout the day. On the way out the door, whatever you say to your significant other, your spouse, your partner, your mate, whatever you want to call it these days, and what you leave them with in that day, that just the beginning of your day, it plans out that whole day physically. And it plans out that whole day emotionally, and the language and the conversation, just the right words could take you through that day. So yeah, what you hear in your sexual, spiritual senses is very important. Let's move on. The next one is, I don't know which one to do first. Let's do smell. Because smell takes people a lot of different ways. And again, you will hear me mention a lot of this in my series, Sex with the Goddess. I think it was the second volume, the second entry, about the different body butters. And I talked about my coffee body wash, which is it's insane. I have never, like, when they say it's coffee, it really is coffee. But what, you ladies, we already know about the, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond and the Victoria's Secrets and body lotion, body wash, body oils, and all of that, and your essential sexual smell. But there is nothing more sensual than for you to have nothing on your body and you still smell amazing. What? Okay, Dada, how the fuck do you do that? I don't have no deodorant. I don't have no smell good between my leg. I don't have nothing. You know, I just take a shower and wash my body and dry off and just get in the bed. Just, I'm going to be ashy and dry. No. Now, again, we're talking about serious sex with the goddess. We're talking about your spiritual sexual self. It goes a lot deeper than Bed Bath & Beyond. Trust me. Because if you open up your legs and it's beyond belief, something is wrong. And again, I briefly mentioned diet, but that's really half the battle, is your diet. What are you eating? When you, you know, if ladies, I'm going to just keep it raw because, you know, I'm Dadonna. I'm the goddess in the forum. If you open up your legs and it smell like a garbage can, something is wrong. There should not be anything but sweet peaches and cream and pineapple and I heard bubble gum. I don't know why. That was a whole different person in a whole nother life of mine, but peaches, cream, pineapple, mango. I just bought a papaya not too long ago. Yeah, ladies, that's all you got to do is Google it. YouTube is full of, there's a lady called, I can't remember her name, I believe it's Rachel, but she does a whole segment on smelling good without having to, if you're just loading on perfume, if you're just, you think body wash is getting it and that's going to be it, but once a guy penetrates that gate, and he walking in there and it smell like the garbage ain't been taken out in a couple of weeks. That's not good. That is not good. And you probably need to see a doctor. I'm just saying. But there are things to help with the cleansing process. And another thing, people think that, well, there are some things that are good for the inside of the body as well as the outside of the body. And we've heard it from our mamas. We didn't believe her when she told us way back in the day, our grandmamas, and some of you, even your great grandmamas, it's vinegar. I cannot live in my home without it. I use it for everything. It's an amazing product, and you would think it would have an adverse effect, but it does not. This is weird. We'll talk about that in another show. Let's move on. So there we have it. We have smell. Do we want to smell yummy? Absolutely. But we also want to taste yummy. And yummy from earlobe to toes. Like you, and that calls for being a very meticulous and very mindful person. It's for you, but taste is always for the other person. That's being mindful. That's being considerate. That is being wise to what your body needs. It's knowing yourself intuitively. It's knowing your spiritual, sexual self better than anybody else on the planet does. It's definitely respectful. It is disrespectful to not taste good. I said it. That's right. Dear Donna said it in the crowd right here. It is just downright disrespectful not to taste good. I've heard some women say that men's sweat tastes good. I don't know. I'm not going to say they're right. And I'm not going to say they're wrong. And let's go back to smell real quick, because I've also heard women say that they like the smell of a man sweating. Have you smelled sweaty balls before? Some women like it. Some women don't. I'm in that latter line. Because now if they're getting sweaty in the process, ain't nothing you can do about that. But if you come to the table with them sweaty, I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that. Just like men have a problem with you coming to the table smelling a certain way. They would also, let me just back up, because if they can't get past the smell, you can just forget about the taste, baby. That's not going to happen. I'm going to share with you something that I shared with my nephews, my grown nephews. They are beyond grown. They're 30, 40, and now 50 years old. If a woman is reluctant to taste her own pussy, I don't have to explain to y'all how that happens. If she can't taste of her own fruit, I wouldn't taste it either. I could end the show right there. Let me just repeat it, even though it might be hard for a lot of people to hear. If a female will not taste of her own fruit and like it, I'm not saying on no lesbian tip, on no gay tip, transsexual, LGBTQ. I love those individuals. That's not my lane. I'm going to leave that lane alone. I'm talking about a heterosexual female, straight, strictly dickly, and it's erotic if she can do it in front of you. So if she's not willing to taste the peach herself, is something wrong with the peach? Maybe it's GMO. I don't know. Maybe she poisoned the peach. I have no idea. But I'm just saying, it should, that situation needs to be situated at all times. There's nothing wrong with it. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it. If dude feels confident that you can taste of the ripe banana, you know, he feels that his situation is situated enough to put it in your mouth. That's how confident he is. Then the question becomes, how clean do you think it is? I don't know. Can they taste their own? Well, you know, you don't quite know where it's been before you put it in your mouth. I'm just going there. It's raunchy. It's nasty. And again, if you read my introduction into the show, it says no children allowed. So I hope ain't no children listening to this because it's raw. It's raunchy. It's downright nasty in some sense. But in order to get to your sexual, spiritual self, you have got to ask yourself the question. Now, if you don't care, that's, I'm not talking to you. If you down with the dirty dick, hey, do you. That's you, baby girl. That's all yours. But the bottom line is you are able to create a space in your sexual, serious sexual situation, your spiritual sexual situation, that can be enlightening, it can be fun, it can provide joy for each other, especially if you're having those conversations. It can provide joy for you. It can provide a happy space, a downright sensual, sexy space. It can provide understanding. It can provide knowledge of one another. It can take you to a deeper understanding of who you're dealing with. You can start to communicate with one another spiritually. I would even say telepathically. If you're willing to do that level of work, is it work? It absolutely is work. I don't think that anything worth having to a point in your life, especially now, especially in this time, especially with the overstimulation of so much stuff. It's not just porn. You know, they opened up the internet. I knew it was a can. You know, can I avoid, you know, using technology? No. But it opened up so many gateways. It opened up so many portals. It opened up so many sexual spaces. And children can see it. They operate computers now better than most of us do. When you think they're not seeing it, you are sadly mistaken. So they might think that something they see that's really fucked up on social media, they might think it's right, that it's okay, that violating a woman in this way is okay. Violating a little boy or a man in such a way is okay. They might get it twisted because they can see it. It's right there for the whole world to see. But when you go inside, you close your eyes and you meditate on your sexual, spiritual self, you get a better understanding. You don't have to be taught by OnlyFans or Instagram or YouTube or whoever, Facebook, whoever's teaching you, oh, this is where it's at. This is what's really happening. This is how you really get down. This is how we really do it. I've had some sexual experiences that I thought would have been my lane, and it turned out, that really ain't my lane. And then you have sexual experiences that, even at 50, I am still discovering my sexual self. I love that. I don't always want to be a foregone conclusion. I don't. You know, I embrace the freak in me. I just keep her in the attic for the most part. It's in my mind. It's inside my spiritual sexual self. Now, what does it take to bring that out? Work. Oh, ain't nobody got time for that. We don't have time for that. We don't have time to be trying to penetrate your spiritual borders you got up and all this other stuff. We don't have time for that. I ain't got time to try to cross your T's and dot your I's. I really don't. I'm not your lane. And that's great. That's fantastic, as a matter of fact. That is a beautiful thing. So when you have a lane that most people can't walk or drive or ride, that's a good thing. But when everybody's in the same lane, you get crashes, you get accidents, ooh, you get dents, you get rear-ended, all puns intended. You know, you get head-on collisions, and sometimes you get fatalities. I mean, you know, collateral damage in the form of children that may or may not have been planned. They didn't ask to, you know, I mean, they're saying in the spirit the children did ask to come here, and some of them are smart enough to know. You know, can they pick their parents? I say most times that children grow up to be enlightened to a certain extent, maybe they did pick their parents because they know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know. Indigo children, shout out to my star kids. My parents with star kids, because like I said, you know, I hope your children ain't listening to this, but hey, it is what it is. You know, are we understanding our sexual self? So before I run out of time, I want to get to the sixth sense that I'm introducing. So we talked about hearing and what we hear in our spiritual sexual self. We talked about seeing and what we see in our spiritual sexual self. And yes, physically, but yes, in the spirit as well. What we see, what we hear, what we touch, in our spiritual sexual selves, and how we're stimulated by touch, what we taste and what we smell. And those two go so hand in hand. You know, if the smell's not right, the taste is not going to be right. If the smell is what it's supposed to be, whether it's an artificial smell or whether it's a natural smell, like I said, you can put icing on a cake, but if the cake is fucked up, you're just going to have a fucked up cake with some icing on it. I'm just saying. So that's smell and taste. The sixth sense that I want to introduce into this spiritual sexual self is breath. And I worked that out in my inner self, because it does not relate to hearing. It does not relate to tasting. It does not relate to smell, touch, or seeing. But it's all five of them in one. So, okay, well, Donna, damn, you know what, how do you do that? That don't even sound right. How do you get breath, the sixth sense, breathing or breath, and it's all of those combined? Well, you do that because when you are meditating, and meditating is really practicing how to breathe properly. It's really that simple. It's not even on anything deep. It's practicing how to breathe properly, bring breath into your body. And again, I did introduce to you guys the female chakra breath and the male chakra breath for gaining your sexual, spiritual knowledge, your inner knowledge of your sexual self. So again, let me just repeat it. For men, it is going to be from the crown, towards the back of the head. Crown is the top of the head, the forehead, top of the head. Breathing deeply in, and you imagine the white light going to the top of your head, to the back of your neck, down the back of your spine. That's the back of your chakras. You're still breathing deep down the back of your chakras, inside the sacral chakra, and out of the penis. That's the way the breath goes for the man. For the female, it goes straight to the gateway, into the gateway. Breathe deep into the gateway, all the way up. You're going to hit the sacral chakra first, up the front of the chakras. Breathing deep in through your chest, into your heart, because ladies, we carry all that emotional baggage right there. Not just in our gut, in our stomach, which is where our intuition is, but up through the heart, into our throat. You know, mind your tongue. breathing deep, and it shoots the white light of fire out of the top of the crown, the top of the head. So that's a spiritual sexual meditation of breathing deep and just breathing each other's breath. Let's talk about that one. Is that possible? Yes, it is. You can breathe, and I mentioned that, I believe, in one of the sessions I've previously done. So breathing each other's breath, that shit is fire. Especially with the person, first of all, you know, brush your teeth, make sure your breath smell good. That would be the optimal thing to do. But to be able to breathe the breath of the person that you're indulging in and having this sexual situation with, when they're breathing in, you're breathing out. And when they're breathing out, you're breathing in, taking in each other's breath. You are connecting with someone spiritually. I would not do that with someone you do not trust. I just would not do it. So just breath for thought. Can you meditate together? Absolutely. If meditation is your thing, you like that lane, I think it's awesome. I think it's the most incredible thing on the planet to sit with someone, candles. I don't know. Y'all could have smoked a joint, took some edibles, maybe tried some shrooms, whatever is your thing. Drink some wine, have a shot, some brown liquor. I don't know. Whatever your lane is. And sit with someone and just chill. What does meditation look like? Well, it depends on what you like. If you want to do it the traditional way, sitting with your legs crossed, you light some candles, y'all both humming, you got your eyes closed, you're holding hands, maybe you're doing the yam-yam, which go back into my shows and you can, you know, find out how yam-yam works, legs over, you get your legs wrapped around each other, and you're sitting face-to-face. That's yam-yam. That's what it's called. I just like saying it because it sounds really funny and weird and cool at the same time. But to do that, and you're doing the breathing and the breath, and you're holding hands, or maybe you're just hugging each other. That's hard to do with someone you don't like, or you don't necessarily plan on spending any amount of time with. It's kind of difficult to do, but it's endearing. Not doing anything else. You're not kissing. You're not fondling. You're not touching anything. You're not pinching and twitching and digging and fingering. And you're doing none of that. You're just hugging each other and breathing deeply. You can hear the other person's heartbeat, I promise you. Something spiritual about that. And just read, well, what about, you know, is there anything? Yeah, listening to music. And that's a form of meditation, whether you're dancing to it or you just laying back and you got your eyes closed and you putting one in the air. I don't know. But you're listening to that song that takes you to that place maybe of where you first met. I don't know. Maybe that's giving that to a certain age range, because most music now is about, you know, take your panties off and I'm going to beat that pussy up. I don't know if that's your lane, but if that does it for you, do you. Do y'all, but there are certain sounds and certain music, and sometimes it's just an instrumental, or there's a certain level of instrument. I also like Native American drum. That does something. I don't know. Maybe it's my sexual spiritual ancestors talking to me. I like it. Flute is another one. Piano, I can't get into. It's weird. But some people like, you know, just instrumental piano music. It does something to me. I'm not a big piano fan. But if it's a saxophone, I'm in. I'm all in. Saxophone instrumentals, yeah, I'm there. So whatever it is to you, whatever your lane is, whatever gets you there, whatever one of these senses, I would try. Each one, hearing, see what you hear. Are you liking what you hear? Are you liking the love language that you're getting back from the opposite sex? Are you speaking to each other in a language that you like? I'm not hearing a whole lot of that in public social media. It's, you know, it's a different kind of language for a different kind of genre, for a different kind of purpose. I get it. A lot of the language is manipulative. I mean, that's how we, as far as human, public people in the social media realm right now, are talking to one another. What do you taste? You know, Is anybody out there sucking toes? Call me and let me know. I don't know. I've experienced it, but I've not tried it. If you can understand what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, you know, what are you tasting? But more importantly, how's your diet? You know, what's coming across the nasal position when you're ready to go to that level? Is it okay? Because taste and smell goes kind of hand in hand, I think. What are you seeing? Is what you see sexy to you? Is what you see attractive to you? Now, for me, breath and seeing and mental masturbation go together. It's not how a person looks. Their love language has to be right before anything. I honestly don't care what you look like. I don't. To a degree. Now, you know, you can't be just anybody. You can't be just raggedy. But my thing is, if your language, period, if your conversation is right. So it starts way, way back for me. But once you get to that point, what are you saying? And is anything that you're saying making spiritual sense to me? That's, you know, that's pretty much where it is. Again, if this is your lane, if serious sex with the goddess is your lane, we're going to learn some things. You're going to learn today. You're going to learn some things about your spiritual sexual self and how you put it down and what you want to do. Come on, my grown and sexy adults that want to have better sex on a better level and do it better than you have. What does it feel like to put your hands on your partner? What does that feel like? What are you understanding about the individual that you're dealing with sexually? Do they do it for you? What do they have to say to turn you on? What do you have to hear? What does it for you? When someone touches you, are you the type that, you know, don't touch me right there, or don't do that, or do you have that spot? That's interesting. That might be a whole nother show. Do you have a particular spot that nobody knows? I do. I have a couple, but I do. Yeah, it's that spot that nobody knows. They don't know until they hit it. And it has nothing to do with intercourse. Not at all. The act of sex itself, it has nothing to do with that. But it is sexual. It's very sensual. What do I see? What do I hear? What do I taste? What do I smell? And is my breath right? Am I breathing? And when I take in your breath or I put my head on your chest, I can hear you breathing, but I can also hear your heartbeat. I can almost myself, Dardana, the goddess in the forum, I can tell what your intentions are just by your heartbeat. That's something to be said, y'all. Come on, ride with me. Serious sex with the goddess. I'm going to take it from here and beyond. There's nothing new under the sun on this planet. But if you're looking for something a little bit higher, if you're looking for something better in life than manipulation, than, you know, hate, envy, you know, sexual sabotage, you know, if you've had enough, then this is your lane. But if you're enjoying what you're doing out there, and, you know, be careful out there on social media, you guys, you know, good luck, enjoy the ride. That's all I can say. But if you're ready to get off this planet sexually and get into one another, I mean truly get into one another as partners and better halves and mates and whatever you want to call it, your sexual better half, and you want to rise to another level sexually, then this is the place. This is the spot. And I am your girl, Dardana Raphia, in the crown tonight with Serious Sex with the Goddess. I know, y'all, it ain't enough time. We'll circle back around. And a lot of this stuff, again, like I said, is going to come up in ritual relationships. Ritual relationships, the last time the guy Rashad and I did that show, you can go back and pull up the archives and listen to that show. A lot of this stuff came up. A lot of this stuff came up in regards to monogamous relationships or polygamous relationships or polyandrous relationships and what that looks like. Boy, is it looking different these days. So we're going to go back. We're going to circle back around to that. And a lot of these issues that I am talking about in Serious Sex with the Goddess, even though it's spiritual sexuality, all sex, all night, all day in this particular forum, Crown Knowledge Radio is going to bring back ritual relationships. Those three parts then, it's probably going to be a three-part series again, because we're going to address the whole series over again. Fast forward, oh my God, we did that show 10 years ago? Wow. 10 years ago and now social media. That's going to be fun. I'm hopefully going to have two other guests at least. Two other guests at least, including my, and then myself and the guy Rashad in the forum, Crown Knowledge Radio. So look forward to it, Ritual Relationship, Crown Knowledge Radio. This has been Serious Sex with the Goddess. I am your girl, Dadonna Rafia, www.blogtalkradio.com/crown with a K, Crown Knowledge Radio. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love my Crown family. And I love my serious sex, no doubt. Not regular sex, the serious sex in the Crown. Thank you all for rocking with me tonight. I love you. Have a good night.